You can't be with someone that only brings the worst out of you.
I'm Whitney Madueke, and you're listening to My Life So Far podcast, my life diary to all the lessons I've learned along the way. Here is My Life So Far. Hi everyone! Today I am going to be talking about attachment styles with my guest Yasmin. I hope you enjoy this. After Love Languages, I learned of attachment styles, another groundbreaking discovery in understanding myself and others in a romantic relationship. If you haven't already, listen to episode 25 on Love Languages. It has helped me so much in understanding how I show love and receive it. And it's kind of a continuation, from that. So attachment styles and love languages is a beautiful thing to understand. In moments when my love languages weren't met, I saw myself drawing towards certain habits I didn't necessarily like of myself, getting extra clingy, doubting myself, or frankly just wanting more from others. It triggers this huge thirst that requires a lot of satisfaction. And with time, I understood myself to better communicate my feelings to whoever needed to hear it. Today, I really want to explore attachment styles and to connect it back to love languages because these are two essential things that really helped me in my self-growth and in my journey towards understanding myself and how I interact with others around me.
Do you want to introduce
Yes, absolutely. I would
yourself
love
again,
that.
Yasmin? Okay,
Hi,
go for
everybody.
it.
I'm Yasmin. I am a New York City-based relationship coach. So last time I did like a really cool fun fact. I'm gonna change it up though this time.
I love that.
I'm gonna say another one. One that a lot of people don't know, but I am fluent in Spanish.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah, that's like another fun fact.
I feel like
And
Yasmin is here to just impress us. Like, what? Last time was pageant, now is this? Wow, that's amazing.
Let me switch it up. Let me be
That's
spicy and
good.
spontaneous.
I love that. Awesome. So today we are diving deep into attachment styles, and I'm really excited about that. So Yasmin, could you like tell us more about attachment styles?
Absolutely. So I'm really excited about this one because, girl, when I first learned about attachment styles and I started to get into it, my mind was blown. I was like, ooh, another layer of a relationship. Like, this is exciting. So an attachment style is basically our blueprint. It's how we're raised when we're kids. It's not just limited to how our parents raise us, but it's also our experiences in previous relationships, and usually in romantic relationships, but also in friendships, in relationships at work with coworkers and bosses. So it does get a little bit complicated, but I think one thing, as we dive into this, I think one thing to keep in mind is to not judge ourselves. When we think that we are a certain attachment style, it's important to think about it as, being present with the attachment style that we are, and understanding and knowing that we can get to a more secure place. And again, not judging yourself, not judging other people for their attachment style either. It is what it is. It's who we are. And I think that that's really special. So I wanted to just, start off with that. But the three main, there's a few attachment styles, but the three primary ones, the ones that, people fall into are the anxious attachment style, the avoidant attachment style, and the third one is the secure attachment style.
I love that. And when we talk about attachment styles, it's just really how we relate to other people.
Yes, it's how we relate to other people. And it normally just comes out when we're comfortable with someone. That's when our mask falls off. And it like it really does show, and it usually I tell my clients and I tell, friends and people when they ask me about this, it's like, oh, I didn't know that I was like dating someone that was really avoidant and, they're uncomfortable with intimacy. And we'll get into, what each one is. But it's so funny because I'm like, yeah, you don't see that until after when there's more comfort. And usually that comes in after the honeymoon phase, which, we all know that's the best part.
We all love.
It's the easiest. And then, you know, like a few months into it, it's like, oh boy.
I really have to know this person. Yeah. Okay, so tell us more about these styles.
Yes. So we'll start with the anxious attachment style. This is one that I can relate to a lot, actually. And this one is, you know, when someone's anxious, they're often nervous and stressed about their relationships. They need constant reassurance and affection from their partner. They have trouble being alone or single. And, you know, they also have trouble trusting people as well. And they often settle for unhealthy or abusive relationships. So this one is one that, you know, I really relate to that because I feel like we're not all necessarily one specific style. I think that it varies. And it also depends on who we're dating. Some people that are secure might feel anxious if they're dating someone who is of an avoidant attachment style. So that's mm-hmm. also important to take note of, is we're not necessarily just one, you know, we're not just labeled like, oh yes, I am just an anxious attachment style human being. You know, I have avoidant tendencies as well. And I also have secure tendencies. So it all depends, but it all comes down to, you know, what is the core? What is your core attachment style? And if you can relate to a lot of things in terms of being, you know, this anxious attachment style, then you're most likely a little bit more on the anxious end of the spectrum. So, you know, this one's tough. And what a lot of people ask me is, okay, well, you know, I'm anxious. I have trouble trusting my partners. I need constant reassurance. How can I move from, you know, that anxious place to a more secure place? Because, of course, we can't always depend on our partners to give us security. We need to find that within ourselves, first and foremost. And I feel like this has helped me a lot. It's developing healthy boundaries and fostering a healthy self-image. I think that that's probably one of the most important things as someone who is anxious, understanding that you can always come back to yourself and that you have self-worth. When you have that, you have the ability to make decisions that align with who you are and what you want and what you need.
I am definitely an anxious attachment style, but I think understanding that has definitely helped me grow to be mm-hmm. even better. And yes, it definitely goes back to, you know, who you're actually dating. I've noticed, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm with someone that is more secure and they speak to my attachments, my love language, which mm-hmm. is information and quality time, I tend to be less anxious. As opposed to someone who is avoidant and then buttons are pushed and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is happening? So definitely that is so true. I think, you know, when you understand your attachment style, it really helps you to understand the situation you're in so you can also be better for yourself. Because I think sometimes if you're not aware of that, you just, you know, you go back to your usual ways. And then you realize like, oh yeah, this person was doing this that actually affected me in this way. So I love that.
Yeah. So the next one is avoidant attachment style. And this one is the person is usually extremely independent and self-directed, and they are often uncomfortable with intimacy. They fear commitment. They feel suffocated when others try to get close, and they tend to be inconsistent. So this one is one that I tend to attract avoidant partners in my past, because the anxious avoidant trap is like ideal. That cycle is what keeps that relationship going. And that's not necessarily healthy. You know, we want both partners to go to a more secure place. Mm-hmm. And how an avoidant person can move towards being more secure is they need to work on opening themselves up to others and get comfortable with sharing small things. You know, it doesn't have to be anything big, but remembering that their partner is there for them because they love them and they're not going to just leave them, you know, and it's okay to share little things about themselves. And also work on being more consistent and aligning with your words and your actions. That's a big one. Someone who's avoidant might be inconsistent because they might be self-sabotaging and of the fear they have of getting close to someone. So the root fear of being avoidant is that my partner will leave me and they will abandon me, which is interesting because that's the fear of an anxious attachment style person too. It's mm-hmm. this person will abandon me and they'll leave me. So they both come down to the same thing. But one has the fear of being controlled, and the other one has the fear of being, you know, left alone. So that's like, that's the major difference in those two. But it's interesting how they both come down to the same core fear. And yeah, moving on to a more secure place is important for both parties if you're in a relationship that has both dynamics. I get a lot of questions about, can an avoidant person marry an anxious person, or can they make that relationship work? And the answer is yes, but they both have to do a lot of work to make that relationship flourish. You know, they can't, one person cannot be doing all the work and the other one doesn't. That doesn't always work. That actually never works, but yeah, it's important that both parties put in 100% effort on their end.
Yeah,
that's a really heavy dynamic. And if it's not worked on together, there's no growth. And you hit a wall. At the end of the day, you're going to hit a wall. So yeah, that's something I always tell people. It takes a little bit. It's a little bit harder for those relationships to, you know, work, but it's so possible. And again, learning more about yourself and learning more about your partner is always really helpful, and, you know, keeps you on the right path and in the right direction as well. So yeah, that's the avoidant attachment style. And then the third one, and the one that, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, I want to be this attachment style, is a secure one.
I'm like, how do I be secure? I need that. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. So the secure one, people who are more securely attached, doesn't mean that they're perfect. That's like a misconception that people have. They also feel anxiety and they also feel avoidant tendencies as well. But they, the difference is that they have a balanced and healthy ego for the most part. So they're able to accept themselves as they are, and they don't feel threatened in relationships. They have the ability to speak up for themselves. And they feel safe getting close to others. You know, they feel safe being intimate with someone. They don't have an issue sharing parts of their lives with someone. So, you know, that's a secure person. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't go through their own stuff, you know, and they don't have their baggage. But that's someone who is secure. So, yeah, they just, you know, the way that they can be more secure is being who they are and holding space for themselves and for their partner if they're dating someone that is not secure.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of communication, I think, you know, in understanding love languages and then my attachment style, I think it,
yes,
just
for sure,
it made communication a lot easier. You know, because if you
for
communicate,
sure,
you know, I'm someone, my love language is words of affirmation and quality time. And I've communicated that to you. I know by you not giving me my love language, it's only going to make mm-hmm. me anxious. You know, I'm always going to like be, you know, extra clingy, you know, those like negative words,
yeah,
that people say. Meanwhile, it's just a reflection of the fact that I'm not being given what I need to be like level headed.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, it's really a lot of communication and a lot of conversation that both people understand who they are, who their mm-hmm. love languages are, and their usual attachment style. Because I have noticed when I'm in different relationships, you know, my attachment style kind of switches. If I'm with someone that is just like giving me my love language very freely, I'm
right,
very secure. I'm like level-headed, like, you know, even
yes,
you probably not hanging out with me today is okay, you know, like that sort of thing. But if it's, you know, if I'm in an anxious place, you know, you not hanging out with me is like a red flag. Like, oh my gosh, this is all failing. And, you
exactly,
know, it's so like, it's so
exactly
important, like to understand your love language, and mm-hmm. then talk about your attachment styles as well. How do
exactly
you navigate dating and attachment styles?
So, yeah, like I love what you said before, because you mentioned that usually we do know what the person's attachment style is before we get into something with them. And that is very true. We just choose not to like pay attention to
mm-hmm.
it, because the person, the benefit of the doubt, you know, we want to give people chances because we're so attracted to someone that we don't want to really accept that this might not be healthy for me. Sit down with them and talk to them about it and be open about, you know, have an open conversation about their attachment style. If they don't know what that is, then, you know, most likely they might not be someone that is open to growth.
Mm-hmm.
you know, are open to understanding what you understand. And that's okay, that there's no judgment there, but that's something to keep in mind. Because it does take a lot of ownership and a lot of self-awareness and responsibility to know what your attachment style is, what your love language is, what all these things are in order to have a beautiful, loving, lasting, healthy relationship. So I think that communication is obviously really, really important, but so is transparency and so is honesty when it comes to this stuff. Not being afraid of saying, you know, hey, I get pretty anxious when this doesn't happen or when this happens, or I need this in order to feel safe and secure. And, you know, when we know ourselves to that extent and we can be honest with ourselves, I think that that's really special because it gives the other person a chance to either step up or step out.
True. I you love know? That.
And you give them that chance.
You definitely
yeah, you give
do.
Them that chance. It's like, it's okay.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay if they can't step mm-hmm. up for that. It's okay if they cannot give you that. Some people can only meet you where they are. And it's okay if they are not on that level or if they don't know how to do that for you. But you know yourself first and you know what you need and want out of them and you know your attachment style and you know yourself really well, then you can really put that standard up and say, well, this is what I need. And, you know, if this cannot be given to me, then that's okay. But we can't be in a long-term relationship. This so is probably true. Not going to work, you know?
That is yeah. so true because, you know, people are standards and, you know, they say, oh, your standard is too high or that's why you're still single. But I think in actuality, it's like, you can't be with someone that only brings the worst out of you, you know,
yes,
and
exactly.
with attachment styles, I think it really reflects that, you know, if you're mm-hmm. an anxious person with an avoidant person, and even through communication, both people aren't, you know, doing what's best for each other, then they're probably
yeah.
just pushing each other's buttons in the wrong way. You know,
yes,
and you're
exactly.
frustrated more, you're angry, you know, you're upset because, you know, you feel like your relationship
uh-huh.
is not doing well. Meanwhile, uh-huh. the best thing for you is probably to step away from that relationship and
mm-hmm,
seek
exactly.
something more secure, or something that, you know, allows both partners to grow. Because at the end of the day, you know, like
yeah.
you said, there are people that are anxious and avoidant together, but it's that level of communication, you know, that level of
exactly.
ownership, that level of discipline as well that keeps the relationship growing. You know, you get up every day to
Always.
Brush your teeth. That is constant dedication.
Yeah.
So a relationship is just
yeah.
like that. I think it's so true, like, you know, what you just said. So is there a way to know who is who on a more surface level, or, you know, what are the clear signs that you can point to say, yeah, that person is secure, that person's avoidant, that person is anxious? How do we go about just like telling rather than waiting till we're like months deep into a relationship to then figure it out?
Right. So yeah, this is, it's so hard to figure that out, but I feel like someone who's secure is, will prioritize growth, you know, and that's something that I've come to realize is people who are secure, like they know themselves enough and they want to have an intimate partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will prioritize growth. And when two parties prioritize growth, like, you know, that that's going to be a relationship that's healthy. Even if you're not necessarily compatible in every single way, you know, that like this relationship is not, this person is not just going to give up on me. They're going to keep going. They're going to hold space for me. They're going to know how to be there for me because they're emotionally available. So that's a secure person. And people who are avoidant and anxious, when you know, for me and you, because we are more on the anxious end, when we meet, if we see someone who is more avoidant, you know, the clear signs are going to be someone who is inconsistent,
mm-hmm.
understanding that their words and actions have to match. If they don't, there's something there. Again, no one's perfect. And we all understand that we're never going to find the perfect partner. But I think, you know, and sometimes we say and do things that don't align. You know, sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we lack integrity in certain parts and areas of our lives. And that's okay. There's room for human error. However, if the person is consistently doing that same action and not aligning with their words, that's the issue.
True.
Because it's not just a habit. It's a pattern, you know, and it's not just an action. It's a pattern. So at the end of the day, like people can even honestly, people can fake words and people can even fake actions, but they cannot fake patterns.
True.
You know, so patterns are like super important to look at. So before we start getting serious with someone, we need to look out for, is this person inconsistent? Is this person going to be able to hold space for me and my emotions? Is this person going to step up for me and for the relationship as a whole? So I think that, you know, looking out for those things in the beginning, and those things are always clear, like I said before, but the problem is we don't want to see it because, you know, we're attracted to them, because the sex is great, because who knows what else, you know, there's always reasons for that. But it's important to step back and look at the actions, look at the patterns that this person is showing you, because they're, people always show you who they are. You know, especially men, especially, are very simple creatures. They show you who they are. You know, like they're not really hiding anything. They just are who they are. We choose to make excuses for them sometimes. And that's where that's not.
No, okay. That's so true. I think, you know, when I understood love languages and then attachment styles, you know, I understood it together. But I think when I finally also understood that I look at relationships or people through rose-colored lenses, that also changed how, you know, I saw certain things. Because at the end of the day, you can know love languages, you can know attachment styles, but if you truly don't understand yourself, you know, or at least that wall that is blocking you, you still feel limited. Because it was only recently that I understood why, you know, certain things were certain ways, and it was really this, like, the significant hold there was that I was always seeing things through rose-colored lenses. And so now, you know, I've removed that, or I always do my best to constantly tell myself, stop looking at a situation like that, or stop, you know, blowing up one thing that this person said into a million different fantasies, you know, and, you know, trying to tell yourself this person is an amazing human being. But like you said, patterns, you know, once you look very closely and clearly, you see it, you know. An avoidant person is so huge on, you know, making, you know, let's do this, let's do that, making huge promises, and then in the last minute they're canceling. You know, and I'm not saying that you can't cancel, but when you see it so consecutively, it's no longer it's no longer human error. It's an actual intention. And I think that was that was one thing.
I love
that. that was one thing, you know, and it was such a process for me to learn for myself to stop, you know, feeding, because I'm so huge on words. So huge, like you can tell me one thing and that's the one word I'll hold on for the rest of my life, and I will think you're this amazing human being, but meanwhile your actions continuously, you know, it says that those words that you said are a huge lie, you know. So it was only like recently, like in 2019, that I just realized, like, Whitney, you need to stop, you know. Even in 2020 I was just like, yeah, you definitely need to stop, you're always doing this rose-colored lenses thing, and it's really not good, because at the end of the day, the sooner you spot people's attachment styles, it helps you to make that decision on if you should continue or if you should just let go of that person. And it's really a hard situation, especially if, you know, you're single and you're hoping for something, you know, amazing, and you have something but it's not amazing. So you have to make that decision of, should I let it go now or hold on to it, hoping that it will get better. And in actuality, it doesn't get better. It only gets worse. You keep looking at the situation, thinking it will get better. But meanwhile, the person's actions really just tells you, like, this isn't going anywhere. They don't take you seriously enough to elevate themselves. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's such a difference. If I want someone in my life, I will step up to a level that I can possibly step up to. And, you know, I'm still I'm still a human being, you know, I'm not changing who I am. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just can't tell when someone doesn't see you as fully important enough to do the right thing or be them or be their best selves. And dating avoidant people is so stressful because they're constantly using words to camouflage their actions. And you have to take away those words and look at their actions to really see. But then you meet a secure person and They say something, they do it. And they might cancel, but it's not, you know, a repetitive thing. It's not
human error.
You know, it's not because they don't want to see, it's because maybe, oh, they are late for work, or you know things like that. A secure person is like, right, I want this, I'm going for it. No, I want this, and it's like, okay, no, I can't, you know, because. So it's really amazing when you can take those few months or weeks of getting to know someone and, you know, figure out, yes, where they are and lining their actions to figure out their patterns. Because at the end of the day, the sooner, or at least the quicker you get out of a situation, the less invested you're in, as opposed to dating someone for like 6 months and then you figure out, oh, right, no, like, I can't leave now, I'm already 6 months deep.
Exactly, you're too invested.
You know, so it's like, get exactly out when you can, because at the end of the day, like, yes, you know, I think relationships only do better if you're with someone that, you know, even if they're not their best selves, they're constantly trying to be their best self. So yes, that's like,
and actually
super, yeah,
saying they will, you know, and not doing it.
Exactly.
That's important.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
so, like,
exactly,
what are your tips on sharing attachment styles? Like, how do I just come up to someone and tell them, oh, I'm an anxious attachment style, don't love me this way? What is the best way,
right,
to do,
yeah,
that?
Yeah, because it's hard to, like, come up to someone, especially if people don't know what that is, mm-hmm, and are not necessarily into self-growth or don't prioritize that, mm-hmm, stuff. It can be difficult to just, like, slap them in the face with, like, hey, I'm anxiously attached, by the way.
I hope you're secure.
I hope you're not avoided. Imagine,
wow,
that's really bad. So, no, that is mm-hmm, off the table. But I think, you know, not necessarily just having a casual conversation. It doesn't have to be so serious, but just letting them know, like, little things about yourself and letting them know, you know, like, this to me is important. You know, I need this and this and this. I need you to speak to me. Like, I need you to check in with me every day. Like, that's something that is really valuable to me and it's important in relationships. So if we could work on that, that'd be great. You know, if I can get that from you, that'd be great. So again, it's more so having a casual conversation around what you need and what you want and allowing that person the space to do the, mm-hmm, same with you. You know, giving them the time and space to be like, what do you need? What are your wants? What are your needs? You know, what are your boundaries? And talking about all that stuff before we get invested in someone. And also understanding that we can't change, mm-hmm, people. They are who they are. They can evolve and they can be better versions of themselves, for sure. That does happen. But we cannot change the core of who they are. And when we go into a relationship or we, like, start dating someone and we think, oh, yeah, they're avoidant, but you know what? They're going to change because I'm going to tell them to change. You know, that doesn't work. I've tried, mm-hmm, in the past. It doesn't work. So yeah, like, knowing that when we start getting to know someone and we start dating them, you know, understanding that they are who they are and they'll show up for us in the way that aligns best with them.
And how do we tame our attachment styles? You know, I know I'm anxious. So what would be the best way to kind of talk myself down, or at least to stop being so anxious in a situation?
So a few things that I feel are best for that is working on creating more security and consistency in your, mm, inner world, you know, doing things that make you happy, that bring you joy. You know, if you're dating someone, let's say this scenario, you're dating someone and you're waiting for a text from them and they're not texting you and you're like on your phone constantly waiting for that text, put the phone down. And do something, seriously, force yourself to put it on airplane mode and do something that makes you happy. You know, put yourself first in that moment. Prioritize your needs and your mental health, too, because you don't want to just sit there going crazy over something and someone and not, you know, tending to your life or paying attention to what you have to do to be a better version of yourself. So, you know, it comes down to developing healthy boundaries with yourself and developing a healthy self-esteem as well, and prioritizing your needs and learning to communicate them to people around you. You can practice that with friends. You can practice that with family members. It doesn't have to be with romantic partners, but when we start to get comfortable with what our needs are and who we are and how we show up, none of that, you know, scares us. A partner will not make us anxious if we know who, mm-hmm, we are. So it all comes down to self-soothing yourself, doing things that, you know, bring you joy, that make you happy, that make you feel confident. If that's taking a selfie, then do it. If that's putting on makeup, then do it. You know, like, anything that makes you happy.
Oh, I love that.
And that's something that's something that I've worked on a lot, is, you know, understanding how can I move from this anxious place in this moment to a more secure place without asking someone else make me feel secure.
True.
You know, because then we're giving our power away. And we don't want to do that. We still want to have our own sense of power.
True.
And you know, having our own sense of power attracts that in other people. And then other people start giving that to us. But that's only because we're doing it to ourselves first. So, yeah, just owning your power and cultivating that and working on that, I think, is really important. And it's important when it comes down to meeting people and, you know, creating new friendships and new relationships. Because once you have that power, first of all, it's attractive and people are going to want to be around that. And also it's healthy, you know, and you're going to start attracting people that align with that. And you're going to feel much better about yourself. Even if you still have anxious tendencies, it doesn't matter, because if that's the core of who you are, own it. You know, like, you are who you are. That's wonderful. That's great. But just coming back to that place of, I got this, you know, I can self-soothe myself. I don't need anyone else to do it for me. I'm powerful enough to do that. And telling yourself that, feeding yourself those words of love and affirmation, I think is really important too. And writing it out, journaling, you know, meditating, any of these things, I feel is really, really important to work towards feeling more secure with yourself.
I love that so much. I think it's really important to remember that, because, you know, when you talk about attachment styles and love languages, you know, it's just more of like, what can the person do for me to help me feel better? But in actuality, you should also take control of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's stepping away for a few minutes, you know, so that you're calmer, or at least even stepping away from that toxic relationship that just isn't for you, I think that's always like the power move to make. Not being scared to choose yourself and your own happiness rather than placing it for someone else to secure or to guarantee will be like an amazing thing. So I actually really love that.
Exactly.
You said that. Thank you so much, Yasmin. Like, this was so much fun. I love this topic so much.
Me too. It's my favorite. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. This was like just so amazing. Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll have you back on again. I have to think
of
something.
Maybe we can talk about boundaries.
Yes. Ooh, I love that. That's a good one, guys. Guys, Yasmin is coming back. We're gonna talk about boundaries. That's good. Awesome.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you, Whitney. You too. Bye.
That was such an insightful conversation. With knowledge comes accountability, and it's so important to be self-aware of these things so you have more successful, healthier relationships with yourself and with others. And in understanding my love language and attachment style, I'm very much confident about sharing my needs and letting people know. And with a better understanding of who I am, I can actually do better. I think it's just so important that, you know, with life, you're constantly trying to understand yourself. If not, you know, you give other people that power to label you in these certain terms, needy, clingy, asking for too much, when in actuality, it's because some part of you hasn't been met, and it's your way of telling yourself that something isn't quite right here. So in these situations, I love talking about love languages, attachment styles with others around me so that they do understand the way they receive and, you know, accept love and show love, as well as the way I receive it and show it and accept it. And I think, you know, when you combine it together, you're actually pushing for healthier relationships with yourself and with others around you. Thank you for listening. Share your thoughts with me on Instagram at My Life So Far Podcast. What is your attachment style? Have you figured out your love language as well? I'll put more links down in the notes of this podcast, this episode, so you can actually explore attachment styles and love languages as well. You can also leave me a voice note on the Anchor app. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a review. That would be amazing. And I'll catch you in my next episode. Lots of love. Bye!